Hey, Joel.
Hey, Joel, how you doing? So, you good to go? Okay, I'm going to call to order West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting, Board of School Trustees. Today is Tuesday, September 1st. It is 6:31. And I will start with an approval of tonight's of the agenda. Need a motion, please. Moved by Brian Bittner.
Second
by Tom Schott. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. I am going to do a roll call for other votes, but not for this early part, if that's okay, just to make sure for the record that we get here. Approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of the August 3rd, 2020 meeting. And need a motion, please.
I move.
Moved by Dr. Springer, second by Melissa Prochnow. Discussion or questions, please? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. All right, communication from the audience, non-agenda items. I have none here. Unfinished business, I have none. New business, we'll start with the 2021 budget, and Ross, the floor is yours.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Going through this process, not new to each other, but we do it every year. So we've gone through the process, developed the forms, developed the budgets, and made estimates on different budget and levies. And so it's part of the requirement for the DLGF is to have an open hearing on the budget. We have advertised and put the information out as directed by the DLGF. It was on our website. It was also on the Gateway DLGF website. And what we have advertised was our budgets and our levies. Also, we'd advertised a bus replacement plan. And keep in mind that these advertisements typically are higher than expected when we end up as the DLGF has the final say and is the one that actually calculates and approves our budgets in the end. Probably the critical part is where do we end up on tax rate. With our estimation, we expect if things in the AV and everything falls in like we expect, it would come in at close to what our current tax rate is, maybe half cent higher because we were able to raise the maximum levy in the operations fund. As we talked before, Steve has helped me through the summer on the budget and worked with me. I'm going to have him make some comments on the actual budget numbers and the levies.
Well, thanks, Ross. So the actual advertised budgets for the education fund are $20,400,000. The referendum fund has a $7 million budget. The debt fund is at $7,236,000. The operations fund is $7,961,000, and we have a rainy day fund budget of $1,038,135. The levies as advertised, which again are advertised higher than we expect, for the referendum fund, $6,961,532. The debt fund at $6,435,859, and the operations fund at $4,743,821. Also, we have a bus replacement plan, which is actually required by the state as well. It's a five-year plan, but it can be revised from year to year as needed. For the 2021 plan, we plan to purchase one regular school bus and one activity bus. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. So, Alan, that's the information for the hearing. We just need to open up for any public questions or input. There's no action taken, so, you know, we need to open it up for public and then close it, and that would document our hearing. As, you know, I mentioned, no resolution or no motions are required.
Okay. Questions? Does anybody else have any public comments? Going once, going twice. Okay, so I get at this point, not Ross, thank you for your report. Back to you, Ross, so for item four, which is investment resolution, and the floor is yours again.
Okay, for some of our investments, we do take quotes on certificates, deposits, and law requires that once a year to comply, we need to have a resolution that would allow us to get quotes on public funds from depositories that are maybe not within our own school district. So if you have banks offering higher rates, it would be Indianapolis or out of our district or their main office out of our district. This resolution allows us to have that option. And I think we actually look at this and renew it about annually. So we recommend you consider approval of this resolution.
Okay, need a motion, please.
I'll move.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Witt. I appreciated the hand wave there, that was good. And discussion, please. Pretty straightforward. Any questions? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motion, and I'll start with Mrs. Witt.
Aye.
Mr. Bittner, aye. Great, Melissa.
Aye.
Aye. Tom Schott.
Aye.
Brad Marley.
Aye.
Karen Springer.
Aye.
Alan Karpik also is an aye. So the motion carries, and thank you. Let's go back to regular agenda, academic achievement and start of school update, and Dr. Killian.
Thank you very much, Mr. Karpik. I wanted to bring the board up to date and give some data, some information, some improvement for communications as we move forward. It's been an interesting year, needless to say, and everyone's working hard to ensure the safety of our students and our staff, as well as providing the various learning components that has been requested by our community. So I thought it'd be good to give you some information. For the opening of school data, currently our current enrollment is 2,323. Just so that you're aware, our average daily membership count as of right now is about 48 fewer students than last year. So what that means is if you multiply 48 by $5,700 per student, that could be a reduction of our what we get from the state. And so Ross and I are watching that closely, and that's significant. So that's going to be something that we're hoping that get kicked down the road a little bit, because we're hearing the ADM count, or the average daily membership count, what that stands for. Won't happen in mid-September, it might happen in December, but still, it's just a delay of the inevitable unless something changes. So we're hopeful that we won't get those cuts, but that is a real possibility. Our current on-site enrollment, K through 12, is 1,428 students. That's very important because that's the majority voice of our constituents who wanted to have school on site. And then for e-learning, and this is significant as well, we have 895 students, K through 12. And so we wanted to make sure that we were providing both platforms. To give you some information, this is, I think everyone knows this, but I just want to reiterate it. We were asked multiple times as a school district to make sure that we tried to provide instruction on-site and online with West Lafayette teachers. There are a lot of schools in the school district, especially in the state, that is, that are offering on-site instruction at the secondary level, but not using their teachers. They're using outside vendors. We were asked by our community, please try to give us our teachers on-site and online. So as I reported August 3rd, reporting today, our K through 12 on-site instruction is by West Lafayette teachers. Our e-learning instruction is provided by West Lafayette teachers and a retired teachers. Our AP and honors e-learning instruction are taught by West Lafayette teachers. So I wanted to make sure that we emphasize that K through 12, we have our teachers and not an outside vendor teaching the on-site and online. And we do have a few students from e-learning that are participating in extracurricular activities. So I think that we have met the challenge. I think that we have listened to our community, and we are providing the instruction that was requested of us. So just to give you a breakdown, total breakdown, and I kind of like this chart because I figured out how to do it in Scarlet and Gray. But 61% on-site, 39% e-learning. So the vast majority of our students are on-site. And I want to make sure that I thank our teachers, our staff members, our administrators, WLEA, West Lafayette Education Association, guidance counselors, and technology staff for making this possible, because that has been the heaviest lift, if you will, throughout the reopening plan to make sure that we had instruction being provided by all of our teachers and not using an outside vendor. So let me give you some more information about the e-learning instruction, because I don't think a lot of people understand what it takes to do this. So we have 79 extended teacher contracts and two additional staff members that we've hired that are a part of our school district in order to accomplish this. We have a memorandum of understanding per the law with the West Lafayette Education Foundation, West Lafayette Education Association, wrong association, adding additional compensation for e-learning assignments. So the expected additional cost, if this stays in place for the entire 2021 school year, this is an additional $428,000 more than what we have budgeted for this year, which we will have to take out of various other funds or however Ross can figure out how to pay for all of this. The reason I'm sharing this is because it is an added expense, and this board gave the administration authorization to move forward to make sure that we gave to our community what they were asking. So that's the financial expectation if we stay with the current platforms through the end of this school year. I do want to thank the school board for authorizing these expenditures to allow the administration, the teachers, staff members to implement our e-learning plan as requested by our parents. So thank you all very much, and without your authorization, we wouldn't have been able to do this at the level that we're doing. I asked Dr. Ho, who's our corporation physician, Dr. Chet Ho, to provide some information with regards to how all of this is working. We're in our third week of school, basically, and it is a very different environment. So I wanted to make sure that from a medical perspective, and we rely upon our medical experts, Dr. Ho and our registered nurses, et cetera, to help us educators as we go through this. So he put this together, and I'll just try to briefly review it rather than reading everything, but we have the school administration and the athletic director working constantly with our school nurses and with our consulting school physicians as we go through this on a daily basis. And then each case that's brought to us is discussed and managed, and we follow the guidelines or adjust the guidelines if the CDC changes guidelines or whatever it might be. And we look at each individual's case and the uniqueness of that case. And then we're building up a library of experiences to handle these situations moving forward. Now, to date, from the even before school started, these numbers are indicative of before school starting to where we are now. Students that have tested positive are four. Two were prior to the start of school, and two have been confirmed since the start of school. One staff case, so total positives, if you include the two that were diagnosed before school started, five. So this is from Dr. Ho. He says, positives are low, which is cautiously optimistic. And as a reminder, two positives were before school started. And he also reminds us that absentee rates will be higher because of the precautionary self-quarantine guidelines. And they are aggressive, but it will help reduce the spread and will contribute to keeping positives as low as possible. So I'm very pleased that we're this far into it. And what I'm very grateful for our West Lafayette physicians, Dr. Ho, Dr. Biantilli, and our experts from the Tippecanoe County Health Department, Dr. Adler, our registered nurses, our administration, our AD, who's here tonight. Thank you, Mr. Strode, and all the work you're doing and Mrs. Schott's doing. They're working very hard every day to make sure that everyone is safe and everyone's being communicated with that needs to be communicated with. Also want to thank the elementary, intermediate, junior, senior high school office staff, custodial maintenance staff, bus drivers, central office staff, food service staff, paras, tutors, coaches, and club sponsors. And then a big thank you to all the students, parents, families, teachers, and staff who are following the safety guidelines and procedures as directed by the Tippecanoe County Health Department. And Dr. Chet Ho said this, our measures and guidelines are working so far. So it's not time to celebrate, but it is time to take a look at the data and see how far we've come in week three. And then lastly, something that will start being on site, we're calling it the West Lafayette Community School Corporation Data Tracker. And it'll be on our website. And show student enrollment, the student positive totals, the faculty positive totals, and then the numbers on on-site versus virtual. And so we'll try to keep that up to date as we get confirmations from the county health department. Also, this tracker may be replaced at some future point when the county health department and or the state health department gets their tracker going, which I think is coming. But to get us started, we've been working on this. We've been trying a variety of different measurements, and we think that this is the simplest at this point. It's the simplest to explain and the simplest information to provide. So that hopefully will go live tonight or first thing tomorrow on our website. So if anyone has any comments or questions, they're always welcome to contact my office or email me, and I'm willing to accept any questions or comments from the board. Okay. If they're on site, it's like any other illness when a child is at home for a cold or flu. The teacher is working with those students and giving them the information that they need to stay up to date. So it keeps the continuity with the teacher and the student, and they're not bouncing around from teacher to teacher.
You have thanked a lot of people in this slideshow, but I need to make sure that you hear thanks from me. Your work on this has been excellent. I know it's been a huge volume of work, and I really am grateful for all that you've done. And some of the feedback from our community has been really constructive and helpful, but it's also been a lot. And so I really appreciate how you've managed all of that. It's been really, I'm grateful, so thank you to you.
Thank you.
Other comments? Yeah, second what Rachel says. I think the thing that's been challenging is it's kind of a lose-lose situation. It's very difficult to in a very tough environment, and not only you, but the administrators and teachers have tried to be flexible and tried to be nimble in a very tough situation, and that Rocky is well appreciated.
Well, I think the tougher issues will be forthcoming, and I just want to remind all of you about this. We're always planning for the future, and sometimes people are focused on the present. I think 2022-2023 is going to be the most difficult times in public school history in the state of Indiana. If this economy doesn't pick up and kick back, I do believe that you're going to see major budget cuts forthcoming, and that's what Ross and I are hearing from various associations. Start planning now for 22-23, because it's going to be much worse than possibly what it was in 2008 and 9 when the recession hit. The other piece of this is, I think this is going to drive a lot of people into retirement. Today I heard a survey from the National Principals Association. They surveyed their membership, and over 45% of them said that because of everything that's going on and not being able to, if you will, take care of everything that people think you need to be able to take care of in something like this, it's just taking the joy out of being an educator, and they're going to retire. And I'm very concerned about losing high quality people, because there's already a shortage in the state of Indiana about it, and in the nation. So I would hope that we stay focused on the future, and we're planning to make sure that we're ready to go if and when any of those difficult predictions come to pass.
Administrators and the extra burden on them. How are we doing with contact tracing? Most of that is falling on our administrators. And do we feel that they're going to need additional help in that department, or?
Well, I would say absolutely. Everyone needs help in every department. I'm hearing from e-learning teachers. I'm hearing from various people within the schools that additional help is needed. For instance, over the weekend, I know several administrators were spending most of the weekend doing all the tracing.
Yeah.
And that's going to be what's happening as we get through this. And the problem with trying to bring people in to assist, I think, is a short-term situation, and we're already spending lots of dollars on things that we hadn't planned on, like e-learning. And so I think all of our administrators have said, at least that's what I'm hearing from them, that we're here to make sure that we do this well. I'm hearing that from teachers. I'm hearing that from staff. And so our hope is that this is a short-term situation, and we can ride this out. Now, if this continues, then I think we're going to have a different conversation. But our hope is that at some point this turns, and things start getting back to some normality.
Do you envision a situation where virtual learning goes on forever now that we've done it once?
I don't, because I think you're going to have a state very adamant that you're not going to get full funding for e-learning. And right now, that's what's being propagated, that everyone that's in e-learning, every school that has a student in e-learning, over 50% of their instructions e-learning, is going to lose 15% of funding. So I think Ross did the calculation. Was that $750,000 we would lose?
$78,000 a student.
So I don't see the legislators, in my view, thinking that that's going to continue, because if the pandemic is gone and people can be healthy in school safely at full capacity, I don't foresee them allowing that to continue, in my opinion.
Any other questions?
Just one quick question. Are we notifying parents when we do have a positive test result as soon as we find out about it?
Yes.
Okay. Are they getting an email or some sort of text?
Well, it can work a variety of ways. So sometimes the parent calls us and says something. Sometimes, well, like over the weekend, we get a call from the Tippecanoe County Health Department, and there are three of us that get that call. So if they miss me, they go to someone else, etc. Once we get that call, then the proper administration are contacted, and then they begin doing the tracing piece of this, and then they start determining Was the child in school, not in school? Who were they in contact with? Closer to 6 feet, over 15 minutes, calling teachers. That happened over this weekend, calling teachers to figure out the movement of students. So it's a very complicated process, and the person that probably has the most experience right now is our athletic director, Joel, who has probably spent more time the tracing and calling and contacting. He's done just an absolutely fabulous job of keeping parents and students and their coaches informed. So well done, Joel.
Thank you, Joel. Okay. All right, anything else? Any other questions, guys? Okay. We'll move on to school board policy revision, and Dr. Killian.
Our policy committee has been meeting to update our school board policies based upon the updates of Indiana Code and suggestions by NEOLA. There are still some policies that they're working through, but at your in your packet are the updated policies that align with any updated Indiana Code or additional procedures that are needed during this time.
Need a motion, please, to accept those policy revisions.
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote. We'll start this time with Dr. Springer.
Aye.
Mr. Marlin.
Aye.
Mr. Schott.
Aye.
Mr. Proppenow.
Aye.
Mr. Bittner.
Aye.
And Mrs. Witt.
Aye.
And Mr. Karpik or myself will vote aye as well. The vote carries 7-0. Thank you. Teacher grant policy. Go ahead.
Here's a new Indiana law. Why we have to do this every year, I don't know. But per Indiana Code, it changed, and every year the school board by September 15th must affirm our school board policy with regards to the teacher grant policy that is based upon the teacher grants that the state gives in December. So you have to review it every year, and you have to reaffirm the policy. And our committee has looked at this policy and supports the policy, and we're recommending your approval to affirm the teacher grant policy.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
I move. Melissa.
Rachel. Melissa moves.
Yep.
And seconded by Rachel Witt. Discussion, please. Okay, roll call vote. We'll start with Mrs. Witt.
Aye.
Mr. Bittner.
Aye.
Mrs. Procknow.
Aye.
Mr. Schott.
Aye.
Mr. Marlin.
Aye.
Dr. Springer.
Aye.
And Alan Karpik votes aye as well, and the vote carries. And thank you from that standpoint.
Just to clarify for the public, if anyone wants to look up our policies, which is all online now, we're dealing with policy 3220.01, Teacher Appreciation Grant.
Okay, thank you. School board statement. One of the things that's an important part of what we're all dealing with as a country certainly has been racial issues and diversity issues that have been presented not only to us at the petition over the summer, but it certainly is an area as a board and as a district that we take very, very seriously and are working on not only evaluating our best practices, but also making the most the situation and the experience for all students to be the best it can possibly be. And we're going to issue a statement today just about that, and as we continue to look at this and begin this process, I wanted to say that the School Board Administration of the West Lafayette Community School Corporation affirms that any type of racial discrimination in any West Lafayette school or program will not be tolerated. Concerns of past racial discrimination and inequity recently brought forward have been heard, and this is important, it's been heard clearly. It is imperative that we vigorously pursue the benefit of a racially diverse, culturally comprehensive K-12 education for every student. As such, earlier this summer, the administration began examining our policies and practices to ensure racial equality in our schools. Effective promotion of racial equality must factor in the implementation of our corporate mission, which is to engage students in a world-class educational experience that prepares them to be well-rounded, ethical, innovative, creative, productive, and adaptive citizens who will shape our global society. And that's taken directly from our mission statement. We will provide available resources and energy to best serve our present and future students, parents, and community members in the days and months ahead. So we just wanted to make that clear. This is a process. Dealing with any form of racism is always an ongoing process. And we as a board will perform our role as our entire community will in the days and months ahead. Just wanted to read that and make that clear at this point. Now we'll go on to item 7, and that is acceptance of donation. And Dr. Killian, the floor is yours.
This is a formal request. We had a group of parents put together a donation request for e-learning teachers. They raised $5,000 and then equitably sent checks to each of the schools to assist e-learning teachers. And so I'm recommending the school board approval, the acceptance of those donations.
Okay, need a motion, please?
Brian.
Moved by Brian Bittner.
Second, Marley.
Second by Brad Marley. Discussion. We thank those who have put that effort together to make that happen. Any other comments? All in favor of the motion, I'm going to skip the roll call on this one. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Athletics ticket tracker and Mr. Sloat, the floor is yours.
Yes, with the change in how we do athletic ticket sales and limited capacity at events and so on, Joel Strode has done a good job at investigating maybe more of an electronic way to handle ticket sales, and he gave you some information on that. But I asked Joel if he'd give a brief summary of how this will work.
Can you hear me now? There we go. Thank you, first off, for the chance to come and talk again tonight. So obviously, like many things, we can't operate like we used to. So for certain athletic events where we feel like we would meet our capacity, you know, for a football game, for example, it's 500 people. For a rivalry soccer game, we're looking at 250 people. We feel like in the athletics department, we have to make sure we take care of certain groups. For example, we want to take care of the student athlete parents at the football game, cheerleader parents, band member parents, dance member parents, and hopefully have some tickets left over for the student body or athletic boosters or longtime fans, etc. In order for us to do that and also limit the amount of interaction we have in our school, we also don't want hundreds of people coming into the school all week long or in the athletic office and putting the office staff and so on at risk. We feel like some sort of online ticket platform will solve some of those issues. It's not something we sought to go do on our own prior to COVID, but now with new restrictions, we feel like this is a way we can safely do that. And then moving forward, I think there's also going to be some added benefits to it besides just this current issue. For example, we still don't really have a way to take electronic payments for merchandise or for donations or for booster club memberships in our office. The aquatic center, she doesn't have a way to take electronic payments, so she's continued to do her best and operate. She's doing some great things down there, but again, to have the contactless payment opportunities would be something that would help her. And then also this license that the athletic department has planned to purchase is a district-wide thing. So it could be used for prom tickets. It could be used for band concerts. It could be used for plays. It could be used at the elementary level, the intermediate level. If Dr. Killian was having an event, they could even come in and build our new auditorium seating chart, and you could sell reserved seating. The possibilities are so much more, but really I'm just trying to do pretty simple stuff right now, hit the ground running with some larger attended events starting next week, and we think this will be something that will allow us to do that.
Ross, you have anything else to add?
No, I mean, I think we'd recommend it, and I mean, this money then, we talked about how the deposits would be handled through the ECA treasurer, would be electronically deposited in our bank account, and so that eliminates handling of cash and some other benefits he suggested, so we do recommend that you consider this option.
So Joel, if you'll hang for a second, just as we get a motion on the table, please.
So, Mr. Bryant,
moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mr. Dittner, I guess, and discussion or questions for Joel at all?
I have a question. Is this the fee that's charged here, is this a purchase, or is this a long-term lease, or how does this the arrangement?
So the fee would be like an annual membership. And again, the athletic department this year is happy to pay that. My hope is that maybe some other groups throughout the year will see the benefit, and you know, maybe we could figure out some sort of cost sharing. But I think moving forward, even without COVID, I think there will be enough benefits just for our department alone to continue to utilize the service.
It's software-based, so if somebody wanted to buy an athletic ticket to the football game, but then also wanted to buy a ticket for soccer, do they have to come down to the athletic department to do that?
No, with this, for example, we used this last week for the game at McCutcheon. So McCutcheon gave us 375 tickets, and folks were able to go online and purchase those tickets. When you arrived at the game, you presented the electronic ticket, and then they gave you a paper voucher or ticket to enter the event. So no money was exchanged in an office or even at the event itself. Which I think keeps our office staff a little bit safer, and the athletic event workers and so on.
On the question, kind of an extra step, is there a way they could just scan the electronic ticket? Is that a whole other?
Yeah, so the model that we would plan to use, so at McCutcheon, you show up, you show the electronic ticket, then they give you a paper ticket, and then you come in. So actually what we can do is you show up with the electronic ticket, and I know this might not work for everybody, but for most who have electronic devices, a cell phone for example, they can show our gatekeeper the ticket, and then they press a button, and then that kind of scans the ticket without us even having to purchase scanners and scan a QR code or a barcode on a phone. So we can eliminate that step. We would still probably give, for certain events, we'd still probably give people a ticket stub, just so, you know, like soccer, for example, they exit the facility and go to the restroom or the concession stand. Football, it's probably not necessary, there's no pass outs. But.
Okay, and that does lead me to my next question. Would there be an available method for someone who maybe is not tech savvy to be able to purchase tickets still?
We would certainly still have to do our best to accommodate those, and that's something I would say already that's happening kind of indiscreetly, as far as if there's people we feel like we want to make sure we take care of who don't have the technology or maybe don't have the funds and so on. I think we're doing our best to try to reach all those that maybe have a need to get to these events.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Other questions?
I think it's a great idea. I wish you'd had it a long time ago.
Thank you. Really good idea. Thank you, Joel. Thank
you.
Appreciate it very much. Need to have a vote here, and I'll start with Dr. Springer.
Aye.
Dave, Mr. Marley.
Aye.
Mr.
Shaw. Aye.
Mrs. Crocknow.
Aye.
Mr. Bittner.
Aye.
Mrs. Witt.
Aye.
Mr. Carpick, if that be me, will also vote aye. The vote carries 7-0. Thank you. Personnel report and Dr. Killian.
I recommend your approval of the names and items listed in the personnel report.
Okay. Need a motion. Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion, questions, comments. Personnel report we received in advance, so, as we have in our board packet. Okay, all in favor of the motion? I'll start with myself this time, and I'll say aye. Alan Karpik, Karen Springer?
Aye.
Brad Marley?
Aye.
Tom Schott?
Aye.
Melissa Prochnow?
Aye.
Brian Bittner?
Aye.
Rachel Witt?
Aye.
The vote carries 7-0. Thank you. Accounts payable, Mr. Schultz.
Okay, we have a total with our payroll, paid deductions, our claims, WEBEC claims, construction projects, $3,396,436.29. Just want to highlight a couple items on page one of your voucher. At Midwest Transit, that was, we did, this was a 2020 on our bus replacement plan, so that was one of the larger 78 passenger buses that we purchased. That was for $111,000. We go to page three where it says Central Indiana ESC, it was $31,725. That was for our summer school Indiana online classes through the high school, and we'll get reimbursed from the state for that. We'll approximate, we've turned in $31,000 to get back. I think we'll get about $27,000 reimbursement for DOE for summer school. The Henriot group on that policy number, stated is $27,897. That's part of our comprehensive insurance package. And then on page four, Tippecanoe School Corporation, $87,875. That's our annual agreement with TSC to work with our buses, allow parking, maintenance, and so on. It's for 19 buses. That's our annual fee. Then one other thing on page five, Trinity Holdings, $71,285 Chromebooks. These were additional Chromebooks purchased because of the COVID and the e-learning, and this will be reimbursed through the CARES Act funding that we'll be receiving this grant, and we'll be returning that in for reimbursement. So we recommend your consideration of these claims.
Motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion. Hearing none, I will start the voting. Alan Karpik votes yes. Karen Springer?
Aye.
Brad Marley?
Aye.
Tom Schott?
Aye.
Melissa Prochnow?
Aye.
Brian Bittner?
Aye.
Rachel Witt?
Aye.
And the vote carries 7-0, the motion passes. Information of the board, I have none. We will start with board and superintendent reports, but I'd like to start with Bob Reiling, our attorney, who has some information regarding some
yes.
New news. Go ahead, Bob.
Last week we received a ruling after a hearing from the Lake County Superior Court upholding our right to proceed in the lawsuit against the state of Indiana that alleges that the state statute that permits a charter school to lease our structures for $1 be unconstitutional. And that's a good step. I anticipate we'll have a hearing in either late early winter or possibly January or February in front of the court, and hopefully we'll be in front of the Indiana Supreme Court by next year this time, and we'll have a decision. So it was a good day for public schools.
Okay, thank you. Sure. I'm going to go around the horn. I don't know how many of these we really have right now, but Rachel Witt, from your end.
Policy committee has met, Dr. Springer and myself, and I want to thank Doug Masson also for his continued involvement in that. And we're going to continue to work through those, but it met and went well. That's all I have.
Okay, Brian Bittner, anything from you?
Yeah, we did the RDC meeting online, and there's really nothing to report that was positive or negative to West Lafayette.
Okay, Melissa, anything from you?
Yes. So I attended the West Lafayette Education Foundation meeting, and the virtual event that they had this summer went very well, and they raised around $27,000. They are postponing the Wall of Pride event. That will be postponed to April 8th and 9th. They had discussion on teacher grant cycles, the timing and the criteria, and whether they want to change it similar to what the schools are doing in terms of rapid response grants. And so I think that the teacher grant committee will meet and discuss how they want to move forward with that. And they discussed the end of the year fiscal, financial, new budget. Those will all be presented this month in September. I also attended the Public Schools Foundation of Tippecanoe County meeting and the Cupcake Walk for Public Education on September 20th will be virtual, and registration is ongoing. The Public Schools Foundation reallocated some of their fall grant cycle funds to a rapid response grants, and they've had a total of 45 requests from Tippecanoe County school teachers, and 7 of those requests are from West Lafayette staff, and they should hear about those grants this Friday. And that's what I got.
Okay. I had a question for you. So you may have said the public school, what their major fundraiser
is the cupcake run, and that is virtual this year.
Okay.
And so, but and I think they're about 40% of registration, which is what they've been told is on target for a virtual event. So they are doing well. They still have another 19 days right. here for registration, and so hopefully they'll do a little bit better.
I know you mentioned that, and I apologize. Okay. Tom Schott, anything from your end?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Brad Marley?
No update, sir.
Okay. James Grant?
I serve on the policy committee and just wanted to reiterate that over the past 2.5 years, the committee has worked on updating all corporation policies, and they are all online now for anybody to look at. But we're currently, well, twice a year now, NEOLA will send updates. So we're currently working on the spring updates, and we'll get finished with those. We voted on quite a few updates tonight. There's still a few more. And then probably in the next month or so, we'll be getting the fall updates. So we will continue working. From the Park Board, the West Lafayette Wellness Center construction continues on time and under budget with openings slated for soft opening in December with opening to the public in January. So we're excited about that. Lots of opportunities for employment and go to the city of West Lafayette, Parks and Rec, and there are jobs listed.
Okay. The interesting too that the trail is being built up at least
this
part of it. And they seem to be moving forward with that as well. So, I have no other additional reporting on a report for my activity. Communication from the audience, non-agenda items. I don't have anybody signed up. Anybody want to speak? Okay. Regular board meeting. Next regular board meeting will be Monday, October 5th at 6:30 p.m. Right here at our new home, it seems. And we appreciate all the extra help, Margaret, you and your staff do to make this happen, and we appreciate that as well. Need a motion for adjournment of this meeting before we adjourn into executive session.
I move.
Moved by Mrs. Krocknow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. I'll skip the roll call and say all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry, and we are adjourned.